Bismillah. The name of the source of life. We have a relatively short meeting tonight and then a meal together. So in the little time that we have, I want to begin with a quotation from Mevlana Rumi. He says, the porter runs to the heavy load and takes it from others, knowing burdens are the foundation of ease and bitter things the forerunners of pleasure. See the porter's struggle over the load. It's the way of those who see the truth of things. So I put this quote at the beginning of a chapter in Living Presence called The Alchemy of Effort. And since we're in Ramadan, it's a time when effort is possible, more than usual, for those who wish it. But there are some teachings about effort that are, I think are important to comprehend. On the one hand, I wish for all of us the ease of Ramadan. You know, let it be easy. Let it be sweet. But there's also the truth that when we're intentional about something, when we affirm something, it's also true that very often affirmation brings up a denying force. You know, it's not until you really decide intentionally to do something that you see resistances come before you. When you just sort of glide through life, looking for the path of least resistance, things may appear to be easy, but once we're intentional, then we experience a denying force. And there's a word that we use which could be translated as strive. The word in Arabic is jahada. And I want to read you something from the Quran. I've tried to print it out, but the printer is going kaflooey today. So I will just read it to you. And strive in his cause, in other words, in the divine cause, as you ought to strive. And Yusuf Ali in his translation puts in parentheses, with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and imposed no difficulties on you in religion. It is the way of your father Abraham. It is God who has named you as those who are surrendered, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may bear witness for you and he be witnesses for mankind. So, establish regular worship and give regular charity and hold fast to God. He is your protector and the best to protect and the best to help. So, this is a beautiful statement about the path. And we see the path as something very broad, very universal. It is, as is said in the Quran, it is the way of Abraham. It's that primordial faith, which is very simply means one thing. It means to place your trust and your attention on the divine. And interesting that it says in it, God has chosen you. You chosen anyone who has a longing for the spiritual reality. And has not burdened you with religion. I mean, fasting may look difficult. but maybe it's not. Maybe, in fact, it's greater ease than the alternatives when the alternatives are truly weighed and all things are weighed in a true balance. That the work of the spiritual path and practices and disciplines of the spiritual path are the easy way, even if at first they look challenging and seem to bring difficulty. Now there's a teaching, and I'm going to share a page here with you. We don't need to read it now. You can take it home and look at it, because I can give you in a shorter period of time, though it's very short, one page, a principle that has come from our teachers, and it's about the very essence of this striving and how it really works. Because we are, as I said, when we affirm something, whatever it is, whether it's going to be a discipline of study or working towards developing ourselves in any way, artistically, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, physically, all those ways, we're going to meet resistance. We expect that. And so there's this, call it, struggle going on between affirmation and denial. Affirmation. And there's a struggle here at this level. And there's a blessing in that struggle, because that is where the alchemy lies. That's where the transformation lies. But the transformation, and here's the point I hope to convey tonight, whether we understand it fully or not, that the struggle does not happen at this level of like and dislike. That the real jihada, the real striving spiritually is at a third point. And it's a sort of reconciling energy, a reconciling force from which we have a new relationship to this struggle. So the struggle may be, you know, because we're struggling all the time in life. Everybody's struggling. People are struggling, you know, pretty hard and often even frustratingly, even fruitlessly in some respects at that level where everything is a clash of opposites. But there is another level, and that other level is the level of presence. And from that level of presence, we can formulate, not only formulate an intention, but ask divine grace to support our intention. So with presence comes the possibility of intention. And intention is not just from my limited will. All my limited will can do is to make an intention, to realize there's something. There is some work to be done, whatever that work may be. There's, for us, the work of transformation, transformation of the self. From presence, we formulate intention, but our intention is not enough. The intention has, you might say, really is going to need the support and the grace that comes from another direction altogether. Do you ask for it? Do you call for it? Do you ask the infinite for a little help, a little mercy, a little strength, a little discipline? So there are three. There's affirmation and negation. And then there's presence and intention, which can call for grace. Let our striving be from that higher level. And then we may understand the truth of, and strive in God's cause as you ought to strive. God has chosen you and has imposed no difficulties on you in religion. This is the way of your father Abraham. And it is God who has named you as those surrendered, both before and in this revelation, throughout the whole tradition of humanity, those who have been in surrender, who have joined their will to the spiritual reality. and that the messenger may be a witness for you, and you be witnesses for mankind. You be an example of this surrender and this striving to live in the divine way, in the way that reflects the highest truth. And then it says, okay, all here's all that's asked. Establish regular worship, prayer, remembrance. Make it regular in your life. And give charity. Give directly to those in need. And hold fast to God. Three things. For he is your protector. Really, the word here. Al Mawla. Protector, friend. We say Mawlana for Rumi. Mevlana, Mawlana for Rumi. God is your Mawla. God is your friend. God is your protector. God is your the one nearest to you. And may you be near to that one as well. So he is the best. He, she, it is the best Mawla, and the one who brings you help, nasir, blessings and help. So, got that message? Makes sense? Something to work with, something to be happy about as we move through this period and as we move through our lives. Is Hazrati Mandolin here tonight?
Yeah,
bring him in. Can't hear him in the car. Today I received word from several sources, almost simultaneously, of the death of a friend of a great rabbi. Rabbi Zalman Schachter passed away in his sleep today. He was a friend, somebody we've been with on a number of occasions, and especially many of his students, of which there were many, many, have been close friends of ours. He was not only a great rabbi, and he was really the founder of the Jewish renewal movement, which has had profound effect in the world, especially in North America. He trained many, many rabbis. He came out of a Hasidic background, and he was a Hasid, but he was also a Sufi. He said so. I'm not saying so. He said so. He loved zikr. He loved to do zikr with Sufis. And he even started a Jewish Sufi order. I don't know if it was just kind of a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, people were happy to join it in any case. And God bless him.
Yeah, very dear soul.
Saw him just 2 months ago when I was in Boulder. He came to speak to the Contemplative Alliance group that was meeting there, and he came and he addressed us at noon. It was very much appreciated. He was a remarkable human being. Some time ago on YouTube, I'm sure there's something there. Zalman, Z-A-L-M-A-N, Schachter, S-H-A-C-H-T-E-R. Beautiful, beautiful soul, a great mystic. And the beautiful thing he accomplished was that he was able to bring the joy of the mystical path into contemporary Judaism and also open it up to other sacred traditions and paths, including Buddhism, Hinduism, and Sufism. So God bless Rabbi Zalman. Thank God he lived a full life, in good health, and died in his sleep.
And he was the one we Recently, we were at the interfaith event at a local church, and someone was sharing about
the story
that another rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, a friend of ours, had shared with this other rabbi friend, or Jewish friend. And so he was sharing it again at this interfaith event, and it was beautiful about our friend Rami going to Colorado and was going to see Rabbi Zalman, and Rabbi Zalman picked him up at the airport in this kind of funky old car with the Tibetan bells hanging from the mirror, and every time the car would sway a tiny bit, the bells would go kling, 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 and finally Rami couldn't stand it any longer, and he said, okay, you know, what is it about the bells? And Zalman said, well, I love these bells because every time they ring, I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So if ever I'm in a car accident, my words will be, thank you, God. So I'm sure...
My last words.
Is, yes.
He didn't die accidentally.
By heart. I'm sure that was in his heart.